United States against Green. Counsel for the defense, you may proceed.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Lieutenant Michael Maffei, counsel for appellant Corporal Rodney Green. Chief Judge Efron, with the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you. Affirming appellant's conviction for indecent language based on his utterance of would impermissibly broaden the narrow, limited classes of punishable speech. This court would abandon the exacting rule standard that judges on appeal use when analyzing whether language is indecent. As a starting point, the criminalization of speech is viewed through a very narrow lens. This court has said on several occasions that when addressing the crime of indecent language, that when the government makes speech a crime, the judges on appeal must use an exacting ruler. And the test to determine whether language is indecent is described as a narrow one. The statute at issue, indecent language, punishes only that language.
That is the focal point of your argument with respect to the elements that, as I get it, your argument is it's all about the language, and the under the circumstances does not apply to the language. It applies to merely whether there's a good order and discipline issue.
Perhaps I will clarify that, Your Honor.
You're welcome to do whatever you want. I'm just trying to understand how you deal,
yes,
deal with the context. And is under the circumstances here, either includes his behavior when he was making that noise or does not?
Correct, Your Honor.
And are you arguing that it does not, or even if it does, applying whatever ruler you've brought today, it's not criminal?
It's a two-part argument, Your Honor. First of all, as an initial matter, the utterance that appellant made in this case does not even qualify as language.
Okay, you're saying your position is that is not language.
Yes, sir.
What is it?
It is a noise.
It is a noise.
Or a sound.
Okay, let me give you a hypothetical. The president's car is going down Pennsylvania Avenue. An officer on active duty in the armed forces of the United States is standing on the sidewalk. He gives the president the finger. May be prosecuted under Article 88 for contemptuous words.
Potentially, Your Honor.
Okay, is that a word?
The statute at issue in this case is indecent language.
Right, and what I'm saying is language and words the same thing?
Language is...
You seem to be saying that language and words are the same thing.
Yes, Your Honor. Language is composed of words, and words are sounds.
Okay, well, but you just said that he could hypothetically be prohibited for giving the president a nonverbal gesture of contempt.
Appellant is arguing that in the context of indecent language, and addressing this court's case law on that subject, it has always used words when describing the parameters of indecent language for purposes of an indecent language.
Have we held that it only applies to words? Or have the cases simply not presented a non-word issue?
The cases have not presented a non-word issue. However, in those cases where words are used, the court describes the parameters of indecent language in terms of words. Words could have an innocuous meaning, and then words could have an indecent meaning.
That part of your argument is very clear. Can you return to my question, which is how do, under the circumstances, apply to your case, if at all?
Yes, Your Honor. Even if this court determines that appellant's utterance is language, it's too ambiguous to pass that exacting ruler standard, which is required when analyzing whether or not the language is indecent.
Right, what's the answer to my question? My question is it or is it not relevant to your argument what he's doing at the time he's making whatever noise he's making?
No, Your Honor, and that is the problem that the lower court addressed in their opinion, and that is the act that occurred simultaneously to the utterance, which appellant was convicted. He was convicted of indecent assault as well as sexual harassment. that act colored the lower court's interpretation of what it is that appellant said, and that is not the test for inducing
Oh, well, what are circumstances, just what's that mean under the circumstances?
Well, going back to the test for indecent language as stated in United States versus French, it is whether the language, the particular language, is calculated to corrupt morals or excite libidinous thoughts. Thus, the intent, the meaning behind what appellant uttered is what is at issue.
Isn't context everything? If you say while enjoying Ben and Jerry's cookie dough ice cream, isn't that something different from saying in the context of committing an indecent assault?
Your Honor, under either circumstance, it is unclear what is meant when one utters There's a range of meanings that could be found.
Give me a meaning that isn't related to the indecent assault.
With regard to this particular...
Yes, in this context.
Certainly. Perhaps the appellant meant, what have we here? Perhaps he meant, shame on me. Perhaps he meant, I'm...
Well, if he meant shame on me, why did he continue with the indecent assault?
I'm sorry? No,
never mind. Go
Counsel,
ahead.
Counsel, how important to your argument is the concept that we can't be certain what he meant?
It's... At the foundation of that argument, Your Honor.
Okay, well, under Jackson, does it matter that we can't be certain, or does it simply matter that a reasonable part, that someone could have found that it was an indecent speech?
Again, the test for legal sufficiency very important, but as a threshold matter, because we are dealing with the criminalization of speech, Your Honor, it's a very narrow lens through which a court looks to determine whether or not the speech at issue is criminal.
Do you agree that context matters or it doesn't matter? I'm not exactly sure where you're at.
The precise circumstances, Your Honor, matter. And the speaker's intent matters towards a determination, towards a finding of whether or not the language is indecent.
In your view, can we look at the interactions between the two of these individuals and what their relationship was, which is all in the record? And it's my understanding that we can look at the entire record to determine the context.
The court has used, in various cases, the entire record or the precise circumstances. The court can take that into account, Your Honor. But as an initial matter, the court has to determine first what it is that appellant meant through his utterance before there's a determination of whether or not the language is indecent.
You mentioned earlier the French test and the tendency to incite lustful thoughts. You agree, though, don't you, that in Negron, this court said that not only do we look at that language as one test, we also look at the manual language.
Yes, sir.
Which is a completely different test.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And your position is under either test, it's legally insufficient.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Counsel, are we dealing here with a form of speech that has constitutional protection in any particular way, or are we dealing simply with the fact that these are words, and if we're dealing with it as being words, then don't we treat as some form of word?
The court has held on several occasions, Your Honor, that you know, in the military context, the First Amendment protections to free speech that exist in the civilian world are narrowly tailored, I guess would be the language that I would use. It's not as great a right as exists in the civilian world. Nevertheless, because we're dealing with the criminalization of speech, the protections may be more limited, but there are protections nevertheless, Your Honor. And as this court has held, it uses an exacting ruler. And that exacting ruler cannot be applied in this case when the appellant only uttered a noise.
Well, if it's noise, how does it get to be speech? Why does your argument depend on it being noise as opposed to speech?
A helpful definition, Your Honor, for words... words are sounds, noise, that convey a generally accepted meaning. But not all noises are words. This case is the perfect example of that, Your Honor. It's a sound. We don't know how appellant said it. We don't know what he saw, additionally. And because of that, because it's so ambiguous, this court cannot apply that exacting rule or standard to make the determination of whether or not the noise at issue is indecent.
I'd like to follow up on that, if I could. It just seems to me that it's inconsistent that you're arguing that this is speech and is protected speech, but it's not language.
Let me clarify, Your Honor. We're not arguing that, as an initial matter, we're not arguing that appellant's noise is speech. But should this court find that it is, the next step, for argument's sake, is that it is too ambiguous to use an exacting ruler to determine the meaning behind the speech, or behind the noise.
So what was your earlier comments that this court views protected speech with an exacting ruler? I mean, either it is speech from your perspective or it's not protected speech.
Perhaps I misspoke, Your Honor. I was merely reiterating this court's position that when analyzing indecent language, the court uses an exacting ruler.
So are you saying in the first instance that you don't think it's language at all, but if we think it's language, that we should use an exacting ruler?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what, if we use that exacting ruler, what permissible interpretations of what was uttered here would you offer for us to consider? Or is what were some potential permissible communications that were being made at this point?
For, as an initial matter, appellant would argue that it's too ambiguous to even make that determination. But to answer Your Honor's question.
But if it's ambiguous, there has to be some, within that range of ambiguity, there has to be some permissible communication that the First Amendment would be protecting here.
Correct, Your Honor. And I think that
What communication is protected under the First Amendment here?
Well, appellant's position is that, you know, there's a general right to, there's a First Amendment right to free speech. However, in the military, that right is circumscribed. Appellant's not raising a First Amendment challenge. Appellant's merely arguing that should this court deem the utterance in question language for purposes of indecent language, the utterance is so ambiguous that this court cannot apply that exacting rule or standard to determine whether or not it is indecent.
Counsel, it's your argument, but it appears to me that you are ultimately making a First Amendment argument here, and that is that the interpretation of the words would violate his First Amendment right. There is, otherwise, there is no issue here. People have, in other words, Congress here has prohibited speech. That's exactly what the statute does. And your argument is that this utterance here shouldn't be interpreted to come within that statute. And then the only reason for us not doing that would be because there'd be a First Amendment problem if we did. So what's the First Amendment problem here? What was the appellant trying to communicate in your view? I'm not asking you to get into his head. I'm asking what, if it's ambiguous, what are some of the possible interpretations that would be protected under the First Amendment?
Well, Your Honor, if it's innocuous, the language, you know, the meaning is innocuous, that then would not rise to the level of criminality for an indecent language charge. Thus, one of the potential interpretations is, you know, shame on me, what have we here? Under either of those interpretations, Your Honor, I think it goes to the problem that because it's so ambiguous, this court can't use an exacting ruler, which is what it has to do when reviewing the charge of indecent language.
If we agree with you and throw this out, where's the prejudice? This is a special court. He got a BCD in 4 months. There were a lot of other offenses of which he was found guilty. This one doesn't bulk very much. How is he entitled to any sentence relief?
Well, Appellant would argue that the sentencing landscape, because of the forum, special court martial, the sentencing landscape would not change.
So he's not entitled to sentence relief. There's no prejudice?
The prejudice is having the extra conviction, but should that be set aside and dismissed, appellant would argue that because the sentencing landscape does not change,
so there's no prejudice?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, you're saying the prejudice is in having an additional finding of guilt.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Because the utterance in question does not qualify as language, appellant's position is that the analysis ends there. However, should this court deem that what appellant uttered does qualify as language, because of the ambiguous nature of the noise, this court cannot use the exacting ruler standard to determine whether or not the language is indecent. The statute at issue criminalizes indecent language, and affirming his conviction based on the noise would impermissibly broaden the narrow, limited classes of punishable speech, and this court would abandon the exacting ruler standard that judges on appeal use when analyzing whether language is indecent.
Let me ask you a question on statutory construction. Why would Congress use words in Article 88 and language in Article 134? Of course, actually, in Article 133, what you've got is the manual. But why would one use, Congress said words in Article 88. 134 says language.
Correct, Your Honor. Appellant's review of the legislative history of indecent language could not uncover whether or not Congress intended it to apply to words. But, however, when we're dealing with the criminalization of speech in the narrow class of words that are criminal, appellant would ask this court to take that precise meaning. And as this court has used in its cases analyzing indecent language, it has referred to words. It hasn't referred to speech, sounds. It always uses words. So the court, or appellant would ask the court to take a plain reading of language to mean words. If there are no further questions, that concludes.
Thank you, counsel. You have an opportunity on rebuttal. Counsel for the government.
May it please the court. First, I'd like to address the constitutional issue first. Indecent language is synonymous with obscene language. Obscenity is not constitutionally protected. And as Judge Baker pointed out in the dissent in Wilcox, generally, courts should avoid constitutional questions where a case can be resolved on other grounds.
So what part of the Miller test is met by the words here?
Well, Your Honor, we don't even reach Wilcox. We don't even reach there when we can decide.
But this is not Wilcox. He said it was obscene. What part of the Miller test is met by this utterance for purposes of obscenity?
Your Honor, well, what we have here, we do have Your Honor, it's, if we look at it in context, the language is indecent. What we have is, while he was making the sound, while he was saying he was pulling the shirt down of the victim, Corbellucio. But prior to that, about a month before.
He was convicted of that, was he not, as an assault?
Yes, we're just establishing the context, Your Honor. In context, we look, according to Brinson, the entire record of trial. Before that incident, we had the appellant pushing his upper body up against the back of Corpolucio. Going back to the 2 hours after that, he pressed his erect penis into her butt. All those in context show that he was expressing a sexual desire and was calculated to corrupt her morals and excite libidinous thoughts.
Are you using those circumstances as under the third element, or are you using them as the appellant suggested in order to help clarify the meaning of the language used, if indeed it was language? It may be a distinction without a difference, but I'm interested in what your answer is.
Yes, Your Honor. The context is used to inform the meaning. They determine the meaning so that meaning can be determined to whether or not it's indecent.
And it, is it the government's position, as I heard you say, that in order to be criminal under this provision, it has to be obscene? So something that merely shocks the moral sense or is vulgar, that is not obscene, would not be criminal under this provision?
No, Your Honor. What I said was that indecency is synonymous with obscenity. And that.
But isn't that... So which is it? Can you be convicted of indecent language for saying something that's not obscene if indecency is synonymous with obscenity?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, I understand your position.
Where does it say that, that obscenity is synonymous with indecency?
You, in the United States versus Moore, Your Honor? In that case.
I think the question is, although obscenity may constitute indecency, are there forms of indecent language under the statute that do not constitute obscenity?
Feel free to consult your co-counsel if you wish.
Yes, sir. The president can prescribe crimes under Article 134, and under that, he can decide that indecent language is punishable. In this particular case,
go ahead.
He certainly may prescribe the elements of offenses, although the substantive offenses are up to us under Ellis v. Jacob. But leaving that aside, can he violate the Constitution in the act of doing so?
No, Your Honor, no.
No, of course not. So where does that leave us? We got a Venn diagram here. Here's obscenity. Somewhere out here is indecency. I think what my colleagues are asking is, do they overlap? Is all of obscenity contained? Are they the same? Is it one circle? Is obscenity a smaller circle within indecency, or where are we?
Today we're doing math. We have rulers and
that's
math
right.
Diagrams. Good luck.
Yes, sir. If I may. Yes, sir. I'm going to Miller. This court defined obscene material as material which deals with sex in a manner appealing to prurient interests. This is Miller. Grossly repugnant to generally accepted notions of what is appropriate, offensive, revolting, as countering, violating some ideal or principle. And it also cites some definition: offensive to the senses or taste or refinement, disgusting, repulsive, filthy, foul, abominable, loathsome. Which I would say, if we're doing the Venn diagram, right on top of obscenity is indecency. And that the definition explained in the MCM meets this definition in Miller.
Okay, that's what you're really saying. The manual definition is basically the same as Miller.
Yes, sir.
So the two universes are the same.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So in your Venn diagram, or however you want to construct this, is it that all obscene language is indecent, and also that all indecent language is obscene? Or is it, so it's not, or all, but some indecent language is not obscene? I mean, are they synonymous? They're both exactly
yes,
the same.
They both
overlap
exactly
completely.
The same.
So there's no indecent language ever that's not obscene.
Yes, Your
Honor. So
is that because constitutionally we couldn't prohibit indecent language that wasn't obscene? Or is it because the president chose to? Or does it matter?
Well,
You know, can we, you know, can Article 134 be used as a vehicle to prohibit vulgarity, non-obscene vulgarity?
If, Your Honor, if it meets the definition in the MCM, then it is indecent, which is...
Well, you're saying if it meets the definition in the MCM, it's obscene.
Yes, Your Honor.
But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, could the President, under Article 134, purport to prohibit vulgar but non-obscene speech?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
The manual refers to community standards. What's the community here? Is it the Marine Corps? Is it young members of the Marines? Is it service members in general? Is it the United States population?
Yes,
what's
Your Honor.
What's the community under the manual?
It's the military community.
Military community.
However, looking at the third element, we do consider the unit as a community to establish
okay.
that third element.
And this, I'll ask this in all seriousness. What young male Marine sees an exposed female, is that young male more likely to say you have attractive physical attributes, or is the young male more likely to say what was said in this case here?
Well,
in other words, what's we're talking about what a young Marine corporal might say in that situation. And I know one of your responses has been in the past on this, well, it's a situation of indecent assault. We're talking simply about viewing physical attributes. What's obscene at that point about the comment that was made here?
If he's saying, and expressing a sexual desire that is calculated to corrupt morals, or excitement in his thoughts, which he was doing in this case, then yes, that's indecent.
So we expect similarly situated people in the community to simply speak dispassionately about what they're observing when they see, for example, let's take another example. Suppose you're in an art lesson, you know. Context is everything, of course.
Sir.
Someone sees an exposed female as part of that, and they use the language that was used here.
Like you said, Your Honor, again.
Could a court martial convict the person based on the idea that utterance is going to meet all the standards that are in the manual here?
I think that is, that hypothetical is clearly different than our situation here. With that, if it's in an art class and he makes that comment, I would say in context, no, that is not indecent language. Here we had many things going on at the same time in the workplace. They didn't have a prior consensual relationship. They only had an official relationship. They were working at the time. He used a ruse to trick her to bring her over and not only do the indecent assault, but express his sexual desire and hopes of exciting libidinous thoughts. And you can see that from his acts prior, at a party he tried to dance with her, after he, again, like I said before, he pressed his erect penis into her butt. All that together shows that he was expressing his desire to excite libidinous thoughts. If we look at the third element, good honor and discipline, because of this, the appellant, or excuse me, the victim, she ran away, called him disgusting pervert, and ran away crying. Because of this and the other incidents, the company commander at that time issued an MPO, military protective order. And he also moved the appellant out of that section.
Now, he's been punished separately for his physical acts, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So, as a matter of legal policy, what is society being protected from here Or what is the military being protected from by also punishing him for the noise he made?
That protecting him from indecent language. Even Chase and Nagy's language.
The damages to the victim here who had to hear the phrase.
It's to...
It's a flat question. It's not a spin question.
Yes, it is. It is to the victim.
Because he has been punished already for everything else he was doing. The circumstances have all been dissected and punished.
Yes, sir. For the indecent
assault. What we have
assault.
Left on the table is this noise.
This language, yes, sir. If I can address that, it wasn't just a noise. It was language, an organized means of conveying an idea. Judge Stukia, I believe you gave the example earlier in which someone is eating ice cream, and he says, clearly, I think, based on life experience, you can say that he liked, that child liked the ice cream. And here, when the appellant made the same utterance, that he was expressing his sexual desire, and in context, it shows that he was calculating to excite libidinous thoughts.
When you make the argument that it incites libidinous thoughts, how are you treating the other definition in the manual as to indecent language? Are you just relying on libidinous thoughts on that section of the definition?
No,
but it seems that the other one is easier to prove.
With that one, Your Honor, we have grossly offensive to modesty, decency, and propriety. In that particular case, yes. We also have the victim's modesty at that point. Not only was he pulling her shirt down, but he was commenting, expressing his sexual desire on her.
I was just wondering why you weren't referencing the second part of the definition and relying only on the first. Yeah, I guess what you're saying is you're relying on both.
Yeah, yes, Your Honor. Finally, if this court does decide that this is not indecent language, that the sentence should not be reduced. That, as mentioned before, that there are numerous other offenses, that this particular conviction is not outcome determinative and would not change the landscape of the sentence, considering that he got well below the max of 1 year. If there are no further questions, that concludes my argument.
Thank you, counsel. Does the defense have rebuttal?
Counsel, before you begin, I have a question. Do you know if at trial the appellant moved to have this charge dismissed as an unreasonable multiplication of charges or anything of that sort?
Not at trial, Your Honor. On appeal to the Court of Criminal Appeals.
But there was no objection made at trial or no motion made at trial?
Not with regard to this specific charge, no.
And you have not petitioned our court to review that aspect either, is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The legal sufficiency of this charge is at issue. And barring any further questions from Your Honor's appellant, has no matters for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. Appreciate the contributions of both parties today and your argument. The case is now submitted, and the court will be in recess until 10 minutes after 10.
All rise.